right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio, and I believe we have Mr. John on the phone with us. How are you doing this morning? Great. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And again, I gave your website there, theblindfury.com, and I'm just excited to hear from you, your testimony. And again, for listeners, maybe you're just now tuning in, again, he is a Christian inspirational speaker, a marriage minister, and a teacher and a mentor to Christian husbands. So I'm excited for hopefully Pastor Aaron can chime in here and talk with you about how the mentorship that you have with Christian husbands, because I know here at the ministry we're very passionate about, and Pastor Aaron's very passionate about men and godly men, raising godly men, and how needed that is in our society. So go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll get into some of your testimony and how you got into this ministry.
Okay. Well, I think you covered it pretty well, but I am John, a.k.a. The Blind Fury. And as you said, I do some Christian inspirational speaking. I have a marriage ministry where I work with struggling couples. And actually, because it's a nonprofit organization, I work with couples at no charge whatsoever. I allow people to donate, whether it's monthly or per session or not at all. It doesn't really matter. I just want to help them get their marriage in God's order, and that's kind of a big deal. And I do other things. You know, I've written a couple of books, and I do a little comedy and some stand-up here and there. And I'm looking to get the marriage ministry out there a little more with workshops and some comedy shows and just a whole lot of things going on. So I could go on and on and on, but I'll stop because I have a feeling we're on a time limit.
Yeah, we do. We have like about a 25-minute window here. But I love that. I love that you work with married couples and you give, you know, I love that so much. So what kind of led you into this ministry? If you could kind of give some of your testimony of what led you into this ministry. I did see that you are a widow, correct?
Yes, I have been through it in marriage. I won't get into details here, but it has been something I never expected. And I have, let me just put it simply, I have been through it. But there's a verse of Romans 8:28 that talks about God taking all things and working them for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And that's my story. And it has trained me to sit with couples. And when I hear their stories, my response is, yep, I've been there. Yep, been there too. There's not much that comes across my desk that I can't have empathy for the people because I've literally been through so much. So, and yes, I had been widowed. I had the epitome of a Christian wife and just a beautiful woman. She was gorgeous, but much more gorgeous inside. And she was phenomenal, and she suddenly passed away. So with all of that, God has used it to help train me to work with couples and feel the pain that they feel. So I have a lot of empathy, but I also have this, being legally blind, I have this stop your whining attitude. So I don't let them use their past as excuses. I help them work through it instead. And I'm a tough love guy, which is completely out of the norm for me. And when I first started marriage, I mean, it was interesting. I was working I was teaching a Monday night Zoom workshop. And I remember thinking at my dining room table as I was eating lunch, I was thinking, I don't really want to teach this subject tonight because I'm really going to hurt some feelings. I'm really going to step on some toes. And I just don't want to do that because I feel like I'm pretty gentle and go with the flow type of guy. And it was like God dropped down in my living room, set the table next to me and put that fist on the table and said, are you going to teach this stuff or not? I was like, yes. And that was when I realized he was calling me to be a lot more bold and to not play patty cake with people. And it's amazing. He's actually used that in when I work with couples or mentor husbands. And I've seen lives flip because of it. It's pretty amazing. I don't want the credit. I just want to be the vessel, but you get my point. Pretty amazing stuff. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because, you know, we live in a culture where people have itching ears. They want to be told things that they want to hear. They want to be affirmed. Have you encountered a lot of, I'm sure with counseling couples, you've encountered a lot of different issues that we have going on in the church. I'm sure you've seen a lot with different mindsets, different beliefs that really have been infiltrated from the world, even when it comes to like LGBTQ community, whenever it comes to, you know, different views, worldly views on marriage and how that has really, we heard a startling statistic the other day. Pastor Aaron shared that the divorce rate is, correct me if I'm wrong, it is just as high in the church as outside of the church.
Can I, see, you just hit a sensitive spot for me.
Yep, go ahead.
And I'm going to, here comes the bluntness. It really bothers me to hear pastors talk about this from the pulpit and then do absolutely nothing about it. Over 70% of churches have zero marriage ministry in this country. Zero.
Wow.
Over 70%. They talk about it from the pulpit, but they do nothing about it within the church. I had one minister tell me one time when I was discussing this with him, he said, well, we're teaching people to be like Jesus, and if they're like Jesus, they're going to treat their spouses right. And I said, I understand what you're saying, but I respectfully disagree with that, because what you expect is what you take for granted. You expect your wife or your husband to be home when you get there. You expect to be married tomorrow. You expect, and then you stop the pursuit of your spouse. And Genesis 2:24 lays down the foundation for marriage. And when you go to that foundation of marriage, when it says unite to your wife, the Hebrew word there means to hotly pursue. Your wife, not your girlfriend, your wife. When Jesus used the word unite in Matthew 19, his Greek word, the root of that word, meant to glue yourself to. So metaphorically, we're supposed to be glued to our spouses. We're supposed to be pursuing them. And hold on, we're supposed to be serving them.
Mm.
And that seems to be the biggest problem with marriage, is everybody thinks it's about them.
Yeah.
And it is not. It's about your spouse. It's about you two growing together and uniting together, so that when you walk together as a couple past someone else, they feel the radiance of the Spirit flowing off of you, because you're so in tune with God and each other. People want to know, what's that all about?
Mm-hmm. So you've seen the success of, you know, putting legs to the prayers, putting legs to the sermons and discipleship when it comes to marriage within churches.
That's right.
Versus just blank statements of you need to do better at this.
Absolutely. Well, God's a God of order. And that's the first thing I start digging down into. Where is your marriage out of order? And then we start talking about communication. We talk about response, time together. It blows me away the way God uses this, because I don't even have a college degree, guys. I'm a high school graduate that God trained me through life. And there are times, and this, I am not kidding you, stuff blows my mind. Well, I will be talking to a couple and they will ask me a question. I don't have the answer, but the answer comes out. And it stuns me so bad, sometimes I pause right in the middle of the session. It's like, whoa, that was really good. But that wasn't me. So sometimes God literally drops the answers on me, and it just flows right off my lips. And they're like, oh, well, that makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, it does, doesn't it? So it's pretty cool. You don't have to be equipped to be called.
Mm. Yeah, that's
when
so
he
true.
Calls you, he will equip you. And it's just amazing to me. It really is. I could go on and on about this stuff. I love it.
Amen. So what is some of the teaching and, like, speaking? What do you do with that?
Well, right now I'm trying to put together a weekend. And it's a little difficult because I am currently single, right? Talking about a weird, awkward situation, the single, quirky marriage minister. I guess that kind of fits with my marriage ministry name, a marital monkey, helping you get those marital monkeys off your back and putting the fun back in marriage. What I'm trying to do right now is put together this weekend where I can come into a church and I teach like a noon workshop as an example. Then in the evenings, separate the wives and the husbands and have specific teachings and group chats about marriage in those settings. And then if the church will allow me, I will speak on Sunday morning, but not everybody's comfortable. You know, some pastors don't want to give up their pulpit, and I understand it. But then on Sunday night, in the weekend, with a thing called the Marital Monkey Night of Comedy, which everybody's welcome, but it's clean Christian comedians. I have some connections in that industry. And bring those guys in to end the weekend with a comedy show. And the thing that I do is I don't charge for any of this. That includes the comedy show. It's all donation-based. So if the couples come in at the workshop on Saturday, they can donate for being there if they want to. Saturday night, if the husbands and the wives show up for their special groups, they can donate if they want. The church can take a love offering, and then even the tickets for the comedy show will be donation-based. So that way, you have a family that can't really afford to do anything. They still get to go if they can get the tickets before they're gone. So that's kind of my goal for 2026.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you're able to put that together and make it, you know, free for couples. Now, what area are these comedy shows in? Or you just travel to different places in Kentucky?
Well, I had a comedy show in Elizabethtown. I have about two or three people in Michigan looking at possibly bringing it in, but I haven't really marketed it that much yet because I have some things to get set out. But the whole show will be called Are You Yoking? Which is a spinoff of Are You Joking? Because it's, I mean, the marriage ministry is called Marital Monkey. When I teach and all of that, I definitely use humor. But Are You Yoking is directly linked to marriage. And so when you go to Matthew 19:6 and it says what God's joined together, let no one separate, the word joined together there means to be associated with and to be yoked to. And it's the only time that Greek word is used in the entire New Testament. And it's about marriage. Yoked to someone and being associated with them. So that's why it's called Are You Yoking? And I teach Genesis 2:24 and then God's design for marriage in Matthew 19.
That's awesome. So I want you to talk a little bit more about the equipping men. So do you do like specific trainings and sessions with husbands? How does that work with your men's ministry and mentoring?
Well, so when I first was in the marriage ministry, I was working on a book about marriage. And as I was working on it, I got contacted by a Facebook group. It wasn't Christian. It was just called the Marriage Support Group. At that time, they had something like 25,000 members. And the administrator of that page got in touch with me, and he said, hey, would you be one of my mentors? And he put a little badge by my name, and that way when I answered questions, it, I guess it held a little more validity. So I was like, well, sure. So because of that, I got more active on the group. And some of the stuff I started to read about husbands started making me mad. So it was like God was saying to me, don't we have enough marriage books? What about a husband book? And yeah, I was like, wow. So I switched the book writing to gear it toward husbands. And so I wrote a book called Godly Strong, Love Like a Man. And the whole premise of it is love like a man by learning how to love like the man, meaning Jesus, of course. And men don't like to hear it because society has taught us that to be a macho man, you got to stick out your chest and pound it and treat your wife like she's your maid and all that crazy garbage. So I started writing a book that was pretty tough, a little bit of humor, but, you know, pretty tough on men. And I've actually gotten some testimonies that people have said, man, that book changed him. Like, he is way nicer and he's doing a lot more around the house. And I'm like, really? You know, because that stuff blows me away because I'm just me. I'm just trying to do what God's called me to do. Mm-hmm. And when he uses it, it just, I don't know, for some reason it hits me every time. So.
And I'm assuming that with what you talked about earlier, that servantship, you know, serving is a big part of that book.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell the men, and it's the same for any marriage, stop going on your feelings. Your feelings are going to leads you astray. If you don't believe me, read Jeremiah 17:9. Yeah. The heart is deceitful among all things. Who can trust it? It's beyond cure. And beyond cure, who can trust it? You can't go in your marriage on your feelings. If Jesus went on his feelings, we'd have no hope.
Amen.
Because he was in Gethsemane 3 separate times praying that that cup would pass. He would not have to go and die. He didn't feel like dying. But it wasn't about him. It was about his church and what the will of the Father was. And that's when he said, not my will, but yours be done. 3 times. And he did it anyway. So you can't go by feelings, because love is an action. You love by your actions, not by how you feel in the moment. Because you're not going to feel like it every single day. But you can operate in love every day, regardless of how you feel. And that's one thing I challenge everybody with. And then the servant thing. Jesus didn't say, I came to be served. I came to serve. And he did that in such a beautiful, loving, compassionate way. So when I started reading these Facebook posts about these men, that's when I switched over to writing the book about men. It's a husband's devotional. And even my books, they're completely donation-based. So if anybody wants one, they can actually go to theblindfury.com and just fill out a form, and I'll send it. And there's a link to donate if you want to, but it's not required. So then I started to mentor husbands. And I really let them decide where they need to work. And then, of course, the more I get to know them, the more I start pinpointing things and maybe kind of gear it toward that at times. But really, I just want men to learn how to love their wives. And that's what I challenge them with.
As Christ loved the church, right?
Absolutely. And he served her. He sacrificed for her. And it wasn't about him. It's about them.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It gets
ahead.
Me
I'll
excited.
Keep going.
No, just the scripture, you know, as the order gets right, you know, the love will be there on both ends, and you'll start to see the wife stepping up into her role and, you know, wanting to serve and wanting to submit and joyfully doing that. So it's just a beautiful picture. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, and the word submit, even, that's a willingness to submit. That's what they call a reflexive verb. It's like, hey, wives, willingly submit yourselves to your husband's leadership. But if the husbands want that, they need to show how to lead and how to do it unselfishly, so that the woman they are leading feels like they're being served. Because emotional safety is a big deal for women. They want emotional safety. So when the husband treats her like she's worthless or she's just his sidekick to do whatever he needs done, and selfishness, 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 pride, 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 that woman doesn't feel safe. Well, Jesus made us feel safe. He said, come to me, all of you who have things on your mind, and I'll give you rest. Mm-hmm. Husbands, are you doing that? That's some of the, like, is that what you're doing for your wife? Or when she comes to you because she has a problem or she's hurting over something, do you roll your eyes and go, oh, good grief, here we go again? I don't think Jesus ever did that. I think what he did was, what can I do for you? The blind man yelling at him from the side of the road, and everybody saying, you all be quiet, quiet. And he was busy, but yet he stopped. And he said, what can I do for you? And he listened, and his listening to their desires gave them their healing.
Mm. Yeah, he was often inconvenienced, willingly inconvenienced for people.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. You know, I have a little story. Hopefully I can shorten it before we go into some other things, if you have anything else to share with us. But it reminded me, you were talking about, you know, not being selfish, and how when a husband starts to love like Christ, that it really does make the woman feel safe and increase the quality of their marriage. So there was a story somebody had told me the other day of how they've been ministering to their friend, their coworker, that's a husband. And, you know, it's taken a long time to see fruit from ministering and encouraging this person. But basically that they recently were feeling like giving up on this person, but then they, after the Lord put it on their heart to bring this person food and to, you know, give to them, and some different things, they started to see a change in their coworker. And basically the wife of this coworker had said, you know, I think that so-and-so, the one who's been ministering to him, she said, I think he's starting to tear down your pride. I think this so-and-so is starting to really knock down your pride. And, you know, and the person that's been ministering to him, when he reported back and said, this is what my wife said about you, he said, you know, that's not me at all. It's just, I'm just the vessel. Jesus, he's yeah. been the one speaking to you and loving you and, you know, ministering to you. He said, he will tear down our pride. Jesus yeah. will tear it down. And it's just awesome, that little story. It touched me yesterday when I heard that, because that's what he's trying to do through all of this, is tear down our pride. And you could see in this marriage that the wife was really, it seems like the wife is starting to appreciate, she's starting to see what God's doing, even if she doesn't fully understand that it's not the guy. It's not, mm-hmm. the glory doesn't go to the guy, but still you start to see the Lord, you know, working in this marriage. And, you know, she was saying how he was starting to be a better husband because of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what's interesting. One of my couples, they're out of New York. I was working with them, and he started to make changes. And the wife said to me in a session, she said, he's actually becoming a lot more attractive to me. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be, because he's becoming more godly. He's leading now. He's being diligent and consistent. Now she feels emotionally safe, because see, women in general are a lot more emotional than men. I'm a pretty emotional guy, but in general, women are a lot more emotional, and that's kind of the husband's job, is to make the woman feel more emotionally safe. And it's so beautiful when it works out. My late wife, people argue with me on this. There is no such thing as a perfect marriage, and I say, malarkey. There is. I lived it. Were we perfect? No. Did we have disagreements? Yes. Why was it perfect then? Because we didn't yell and scream at each other when we had a disagreement. We talked it out. We listened. We respected the other one before our own interests. And then we come up with a conclusion. And oddly enough, it worked every single time.
So
like our biggest disagreement on a scale of 1 to 10 was maybe a 2.
Hmm. So because the word actually works. The word works, doesn't it?
Every time. God's... Listen to this. I told a non-Christian gentleman that I am mentoring in self-development to do something for his wife, because he was really upset with her. And I said, go do this. And he said, well, she did. I said, I don't care. I don't care what she did. Go do this. This is the honest truth. A week and a half later, he came to me and he said, John, that is really weird. It's like we're the best of friends now. He said, we're closer than we've ever been. And inside, I'm cracking up. I'm like, yeah, because I gave you biblical advice and you didn't even know it. And I've gotten to minister to this man a little bit. But it was hilarious, because I was like, yeah, God's way works every single time. I told him to do something biblical. He had no clue. He went and did it, and now they're doing great.
Amen.
Over something that simple.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, we have about like 3 or 4 minutes left here. Is there anything else that you want to share with listeners about your book? You wrote more than one book, right?
Yeah, I have one book called Stop Your Whining, Legally Blind with 20/20 Vision. That one is about losing my vision when I was a newlywed to my late wife, and she stuck by my side, and then I talked about her passing. It's basically a book on mindset. It will challenge you. And I've got some blind stories in there, because I've done some pretty dumb stuff, which is quite funny. And then The Godly Strong Love Like a Man. It is the husband's devotional / teaching / role of a husband type book. I'm in the middle of writing a premarital course, so it's going on right now. And I've actually started writing a book called The Proverbs of Marriage Communication.
Yes.
Communication is a big deal in marriage.
That's what actually got us connected, because we have been doing a proverb of the day, and you commented on our Facebook post about Proverbs, so I was interested in that. So it's a Proverbs book about marriage.
Correct. And it'll be heavily related to communication, such as your speech, your actions, all of these things says something. How well you listen, how well you interrupt, how well you resist correction, because you're communicating something. But it's going to, I hope it's, I don't know exactly the format yet. I'm doing like Hebrew study or Hebrew word studies right now on all of the words like wisdom and knowledge and understanding and behavior and prudence and all of the things that Proverbs talks about. So I'm excited about it. The more I study, the more excited I get about it.
That sounds really interesting and awesome. Love to keep an eye out for that. So whenever your books come out, you can go to your website to get access to them?
Yes.
TheBlindFury.com, right?
That's probably the best one. I have a couple of other ones, but that's the best way to contact me.
Okay. And that's the best way to find out about, you know, the books you've written, your how to get connected with events and different things like that.
Yes, absolutely. And I built that website myself. That's why I say stop your whining. If a blind guy can do it, what's your excuse?
I can't wrap my mind around that. Like, I do think about this sometimes. Like, how do people get things done? So do you talk about that in one of your books, how you do things blind?
Not really.
No?
Not really. I'm legally blind, which means I have a little bit of vision. So, I mean, I create PowerPoints. If you go to maritalmonkey.com, on the front page of the website, there is a video that talks about Hebrews 13:4. I actually did that video myself 100% with zero help. I created the video. I did the voiceover. It's not near as animated as I would like to have been, because I'm pretty animated when I teach, but I try to keep it more professional. But I did that video on the front page. If you go to my Blind Fury page, theblindfury.com, there's a page on there of drums, of me playing drums, and I've done some solos in church and all that type of thing. So I do it to encourage people.
Yeah.
Like, stop letting your little setbacks hold you back and stop the excuses.
Amen. That's very encouraging. Thank you so much for coming on with us, John. And we look forward to all that the Lord continues to do through you, your books and your marriage ministry. And keep on, keep pressing on. Amen.
Well, thank you for having me. And I would love to speak. I love to speak, as you can tell. So hit me up on my website and let's make a date so I can come out and do some encouraging for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a
Thank
blessed
you,
rest
Hannah.
Of your day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We love you. We bless you. Praying for you as you go about your day. We love you so much. May the grace of God be multiplied unto thee today, and may peace and joy and righteousness be yours within the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.